The other week I was looking up in the sky and I saw the moon. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. There have been people that have been to the moon and they've brought back rocks. I thought, what would it be like to hold in your hand a rock that was from the moon? And you're looking up in the sky, there's the moon, and you're holding this rock that was from all the way up there. Surreal. I mean, it's surreal to think about that, that the connection, the fact that this monumental event happened, that people put all of this energy and effort and engineering and people got themselves up there and came back with this rock. It's a really fascinating thing. And money. Yeah. But then I thought, you know, there was a moment when God came down to earth. And there was this little baby. And how many babies have there been in history? I mean, there have been babies, so many babies. Every one of us was a baby at one time. And there was this one little baby, but this was different because this was God Himself. Amen. And so I started to look at this story. And what I'd like to do, we've just gone over the Christmas story. We're probably tired of the Christmas story by now as we come into the new year, but this is probably my last chance to deliver this, and I want to just share this because as we look at this, it's so profound that I think sometimes it escapes us, the importance of it. And we talk about, well, yeah, Jesus came to die, and we talk about how really the important thing was the crucifixion, but I want us to think about for a minute when those Orthodox scholars who determined the calendar were looking back at history to decide what is that one event that separates the past from the present. It wasn't the crucifixion that they decided to use as their marker. It wasn't the resurrection. Either of those, I think, would have made sense, maybe. It wasn't the moment when the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled the first believers at the moment of Pentecost. No, the moment that they chose to pin all of history to mark the past from the present was the moment when Jesus was born. Now, they got it wrong by a few years, but that was the point. The point was they were trying to get to that moment when Jesus was born. So we go to Luke chapter number 2 because this is really where we have the story and it's so familiar as we talked about in Sunday school. But there's a lot that goes on here. We're going to start looking down here in verse number 8. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. We're going to look at the story, first of all, from the perspective of these shepherds. We have verse number 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In the same country. Now, this country that it's talking about is the area around Bethlehem. So there were areas around Bethlehem that were used for farming. It was a hilly area. Some areas nice and fertile ground for growing crops. But a lot of the hills, you couldn't grow crops there. But there would be grasses that would grow. Now, it's rocky, there aren't a lot of trees, it's not like a forest, it's not lush, but it's these rocky hills that dominate the landscape. And on these rocky hills are these grasses that will grow, and so it's good enough that you can graze sheep there. And there are plenty of shepherds all around the area of Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is about 5 miles or so from Jerusalem. So this was relative proximity to Jerusalem. It's completely reasonable to think that a lot of these sheep were being raised to be the pure lambs that would go into the temple. It's completely reasonable. Now, I don't have specific direct evidence. I did find one article that said, look, there was some archaeological evidence showing that they had, these shepherds in this area had the tools to take care of sheep that would have been used in sacrifice. It's a clue, but it's a little bit speculation, but there were many, many lambs that were offered as sacrifice. Because each family, and it would have been a lot of lambs. And so it's completely reasonable to think that these areas would have been places where shepherds were raising sheep to be offered in sacrifice. Now, some more about this area. There are natural caves that are in these hills. It's all these rocky hills. And those make great places for shepherds to shelter, and they can stay there while they're watching their sheep. And in addition, dotted around will be these little towers. And these shepherds will build these shepherd's towers out of stone. And it provides a couple of things. It gives them a place of shelter that they can stay. It gives them a place where they can bring the ewes when they're going to give birth and have the little lambs. They can come into the tower and have a safer place there. It also gives them the place where they can stand on top of the tower and look out over the fields, which gives them better visibility for predators that might be coming up on the sheep. Now, it's their job, it says in verse number 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, what would it have been like to have to keep watch over the flock at night? Well, your job was you had to make sure that no predators would get any of your sheep. You had to make sure that none of your sheep would run away. And so it was important you had to watch them. You had to be alert. And it's late at night, and it's dark. Maybe the stars in the sky, but you're just keeping watch and you're alert. And these shepherds were there looking for anything that moved on the horizon. And suddenly, you get the picture of what happens there. So we have verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I mean, the reaction, this moment, there's the angel of the Lord right in front of them. It's a profound moment. The angel says unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, which shall be of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, these shepherds didn't know Jesus by name. Remember that the name Jesus was given to Mary and Joseph, that they would name their son Jesus. But the Christ, they knew who the Christ was. They knew the Messiah. They knew this was the coming one who would deliver the people. He would be their deliverer, the Savior. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Yeah. And so these shepherds knew this was significant. They knew this was the Christ that was born. And this was going to be a big deal. And so we have then verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We'll look at that in some detail in a minute. Verse number 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And that moment, I just want you to revel in that moment as these shepherds are looking up there in the sky and these angels are there, the light glimmering off of the grasses and the rocks around them as they stand there in awe, this host of angels glorifying God, praising Him. Wow, what a moment. Spectacular moment. Verse number 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So they looked at each other, they pinched themselves, they said, was this real? Is this a dream? Okay, that just happened. We had angels that told us that Christ was born. That's real. We should go see. Let's go see. Okay, we're going to go and we're going to see it. And this was their response. And my first challenge here this morning as we look at this and we think about the story, we put ourselves in the perspective of those shepherds, is that I wonder if you and I today would have the same attitude. We have seen. We have heard. It's as if those angels have come to us because we have been told the gospel. We've been told the good news. The Savior is born. God Himself has come down to earth and He's been born. And He lived and He died on the cross and He rose again and He paid the price for our sins. And we have the truth. And the question is, is our desire to go and to see? We talked in Sunday school about picking up this Bible and studying for ourselves. Reading it on the pages of Scripture ourselves. We don't need some interpreter to come help us. We should go and see. We should see what God has told us. All the stories of Noah and the ark and how God just led him through that. And Abraham and how he just believed God and he just followed faithfully the journey that Abraham was on. And Joseph and the way that God used Joseph in such a powerful way when he didn't understand what was going on. There's so much to see. It should be our desire to go and to see what God has done. John says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We might not have a manger in front of us here this morning, but we do have the Word in front of us. It's here, and we should go and we should see. Now, this manger is significant. And if we remember Matthew, let's go over to Matthew. We remember that there was a prophecy about this. There was a prophecy about the manger. We go to Matthew chapter 2. And the wise men come to Jerusalem and they see King Herod. And verse number 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they had an answer. In verse number 5, they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You know what? There is a prophecy in Micah. And that's what these scribes and priests were looking at. Let's go there and see this prophecy. And that's in Micah chapter number 5. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter number 5. Verse number 1 of chapter 5 of Micah says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. There it is. There's the prophecy. Now, chapters 4 and 5 of Micah are relatively the same context. They're together. It's part of this same prophecy. If we go back just a few verses, we have verse number 8 of chapter 4. So Micah chapter 4 and verse number 8, and it says, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come of the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, these cities in the Old Testament are sometimes referred to as women. You'll have it'll be personified in the feminine. Here we have this daughter of Jerusalem. This would be one of the towns around Jerusalem. Well, it's a clear reference here, as we find out in chapter 5 and verse 2, that this is Bethlehem, the daughter of Jerusalem, that is talking about. And in this prophecy here, verse number 8, it says, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Go with me back to Luke chapter number 2. Now, when those angels came and they brought the message to the shepherds, there was something profound in what they said. The angel said, verse 10, unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. What was it about the manger that would be a sign that this was the Messiah, the Christ. These shepherds understood. They had seen lamb after lamb be born. They had taken the lambs to the tower. They had taken those ewes to the tower and they had birthed those lambs in the manger. And the thing about these shepherds, they understood, see, these lambs were there for a sacrifice. These lambs were there to cover the sins. People would take these lambs and they would take them to the temple and they would offer them as a sacrifice. And why were they having to do that? They had to do that because they had to take the lamb to cover their sins. Because everyone is a sinner in all of history, since Adam. We're all sinners. And so we go to the temple and we offer the sacrifice of the lamb to cover our sins. And the next lamb, the next year, and the next lamb, the next year. And we come and we offer sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice because it covers the sin. It covers the sin. But see, the Christ was born the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Because he was going to offer himself as a sacrifice once. But the difference was, because he was perfect, and because he was holy, and because he was man, he could go to that cross and one time he could pay, not cover, he could pay for the sins of the whole world. And these shepherds, let's back up a little bit on the story. Luke chapter number 2. We'll come back here. It says, and it came to pass in verse number 1 in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I want you to notice, first of all, that in verse number 6 here, while they were there, this is not the typical narrative when we hear the Christmas story with the nativity and the traditional story is we tell the story how Mary and Joseph, they came to Bethlehem and they knocked on the door of the inn. There was no room. And so then they said, well, there's a barn out back and you can go back to the barn you can stay there. That's not how I read this. It says while they were there, not when they arrived. While they were there. And verse number 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. If you've been to present at a birth, you probably know the things that go into a birth. There's a hustle as the midwife will arrive and take control of things and there's a need for access to water, and there's a need for any of the comforts that we can give to the mother. It's also nice to have a secluded place. And so this place that they're staying, and this same word inn is translated as guest chamber in the King James and other places. And so we have this word inn, but there was no room for them where they were staying. In the whatever room they were in, whatever place they were staying, it wasn't big enough to support a birth. And so it was necessary for them to come out and to go somewhere else for this birth. Now, what better place than just outside the town of Bethlehem, where there is even standing still today the remains of a tower that was used by shepherds? Just a short walk out to the tower, would have had access to water, would have been a little bit away from the other homes, would have offered them some seclusion. And it makes a lot of logical sense that this would be the place. And so they come here. Verse number 15 again, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they stepped inside that lamp-lit tower, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. What a moment. When they saw this, there was a reaction. Verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's a couple of things that I'd like to follow along here. The first is that for these shepherds, there was a reaction that they needed to go and tell people about this. They had seen. Imagine if you had seen this. Here were the shepherds. They had seen the birth of the Christ. Were they going to keep quiet about it? They were going to tell people. I imagine that the following weeks, as they went on, they grazed their sheep further away than they ever had before, trying to reach people around, trying to tell them. Any person that came across, they told them. And it says they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning the child. And so they go and they tell people, and they told people, and they told people. And then there's the line of thinking about Mary. It says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. All the things that had to take place for this to happen. We have Mary who, the taxing, the timing, so that they had to leave Nazareth, so that they could be down in Bethlehem. And then the arrangement that they would come out to this tower of the flock so that the shepherds would see this as a sign of the Christ. Mary took all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The amazing fulfillment of prophecy that we have here. And then, verse number 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as was told unto them. I want us to take a little bit of time, though, and follow the shepherds through as this happens, as this progresses in their lives. Think about the shepherds and what they're dealing with here. They've seen the angels. They know that this is the Christ. They've seen the baby Jesus in the manger. They are certain. But first of all, why the shepherds? Why was it the shepherds that these angels came to, that this wonderful truth was revealed to? Why was it the shepherds and not the priests? Why were the priests who were in the tabernacle offering sacrifices, in the temple offering sacrifices, why weren't they the ones being told? Why wasn't it the king who was in control? If this was the king of the Jews that was born, why wasn't he born there into a place? All these circumstances, why was it the shepherds? Well, it's clear to me from what I've just showed you that the shepherds were the only ones who understood it. The shepherds are the only ones who would have gotten the message. They would have made the connection because they're the ones raising those lambs. The priests were too worried about their own self-righteousness. The king was too worried about keeping his throne. And so it was to the shepherds that it came. It's a humble birth. It's not a glorious birth. It's a humble birth. And you know, for you and I, some of the greatest Christian examples that I know were humble people. People that didn't make a lot of themselves. They just were faithful in the Word. Just doing whatever it was that God asked them to do. They would just do it. Simple people. Humble people. Those are the greatest examples that I know. And it's to this kind of person, just ordinary shepherds, that these angels come and give this message. And now there they are with this truth that no one else has had yet. No one else has seen. No one else has heard the story. And so they have to go and tell. And they do. They go and they tell. And in verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And they go to this person. They say, look, we saw these angels in the middle of the night. And we went down and we saw the manger and Christ is born. And the person they tell it to turns it to them and says, oh, well, that's interesting. How late were you up that night? It's curious. Yeah, it's curious. But how many went to see him? Was it 100 that went to the manger after these shepherds told him? Were there 50 people that decided after they heard this story, hey, we've got to go to see the baby Jesus? Were there 10 that went? Was there one? What does it say? And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Nobody went. So the shepherds tell the story. They have the truth. They have the story. They have the gospel. They have that Jesus is here. And they go tell people, but nobody responds. Not one person. And they go back to their flocks, discouraged and just beat up and worn out. Tried to be faithful. I tried to tell. I tried to do what I could, but it was no use. Is that what happened? Verse number 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. We get often, I think, weary in well-doing. We as Christians today, I think we struggle because we work and we have these programs and we say, look, I handed out this many flyers this week and I knocked on this many doors and I handed out these tracts and I did this outreach and I had this ministry. We did this food thing. We brought people in. We're trying to reach people and we're knocking on doors and nobody's coming. And we're not growing. And we don't understand how to make this work. It's because it's not up to us to make it work. You see, these shepherds, as ordinary people who understood this message, they just glorified God. They said, look, it's not about what I do because it's already done. Yeah. And maybe we don't see the people going to the manger like we want. But we're going to glorify God in spite of it. Because that's what counts. And as God leads us, He leads us to do just that. And we might feel discouraged and we might feel discontent, but I'm telling you, the joy in serving Jesus is when we just glorify and praise Him for all the things that we have heard and seen. As we go to Him, as we dig into His Word, and we share it with authenticity with people, and we show them, and they might think we're a little bit crazy because they don't understand how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't understand how you can see so much value and so much richness and so much depth in words on a page. But here they are for us. You and I have heard and seen these things. The significance of the Lamb. Holy, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, born as the other lambs were. But this one was God on earth. We have that truth. Now you've seen that truth. What are you going to do with it? I think it's important we have the proper perspective as we live in the Christian life. There are a lot of things that we can do. We need to be diligent. We need to do the work of the ministry. Each one of us has work to do. Each one of us has something that God has given to us to do. And it can be discouraging because we don't see the fruit of our labors often in the things that we're doing. For Aaron and I, it's been years. We've been struggling, trying to get to a place of stability, get to a place where we can start to really be used of God. And as I look back, I can only say, wow, it's all for Him. And if I can just praise God, that's where real contentment will be.
Amen.
And we want to see people come to Christ, right? We want to see people, we want to see churches grow. We want to see real development. We want to do our best to do that. And yeah, we do. We want to be doing what we can to see the church grow. And that's what Aaron and I, our burden in our heart, is to see the church develop. People come closer to God. More people come into the church. Outreach ministries working and all these things. But the thing is that we can't get caught up on measuring ourselves by the fruit. For these shepherds, it was not about how many souls were directed to the Christ. It was about how best can I glorify God with the knowledge that He's given to me. That's what I want to do. And I believe God's called every single one of us here and a few more that haven't come today. But God wants them here. I believe that. God wants you here right now. Because He wants all of us, He wants this assembly of believers to get excited about going and seeing what He's going to do. This is the God we serve. This is what's been on my heart. It's a little bit of a shorter message here, but this is really what's been on my heart. And I have a burden for the church here, for Mountain View. Because I really want to see you succeed, but I want to see you do it with joy. You can do it. Because it's not you that does it. It's God that does the work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this story of Christmas as You brought Your Son down here to earth, the sinless and spotless and perfect Lamb of God. Lord, if we have not seen that message, if we have not seen that beauty, the beauty and the power, the significance of Your birth, Lord, help us just to treasure that here today. And Lord, help us to be encouraged as the shepherds were, to just glorify You for what You're doing, for what You've done in Your Word, for who You are. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.